from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
They are considered to be extremely close. It's not just Mizuhara would translate for Otani during interviews. He's with him, you know, basically all day long. Comes to the ballpark with him, comes to meetings with him, you know, pregame, postgame, in the dugout with him. Is considered, you know, there's been a lot of stories written over the years about the closeness of their relationship. So it's not, you know, as simple as a guy you work with who you meet up with at, you know, 5:30 when you've got to do an interview, and then, you know, you part your separate ways. They're together very, very often.
That is Andy McCullough from The Athletic, the former Los Angeles Times writer, on Parkins and Spiegel the other day, talking about the Shohei Ohtani scandal and his friendship with his interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. This is Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. We're going to take your calls on this in a couple of minutes, but let me set the table on a couple things that are going on. Ipe Mizuhara has been Shohei's attorney since getting hired by the Angels in 2018. At that time, in the Angels media guide, and ever since then, in media guides with the bio for Ipe Mizuhara, it said a couple of things. It said that Ipe Mizuhara had attended UC Riverside, University of California, at Riverside, that he had graduated there in 2007. And it said that he spent spring training in 2012 working for the Yankees as an interpreter for the Japanese pitcher Hideki Okajima. Okay? Also, a bunch of different news reports had noted that Mizuhara served as Hideki Okajima's interpreter all the way back in 2010 with the Boston Red Sox. That's where he reportedly got his first major league opportunity. Well, over the weekend, Sam Blum from The Athletic started digging into this because it was first reported by NBC Los Angeles. University of California, Riverside says Ipe Mizuhara never attended their school, which he said he had graduated from in 2007. Uh-oh. Starting to smell like, who's the Notre Dame coach who got fired just after being hired? George O'Leary, who lied about a bunch of stuff or any number of things? Uh-oh. Well, it goes further. Multiple news reports show that Hideki Okajima, who Mizuhara says he interpreted for in Yankees camp in 2012, failed a physical in the middle of February 2012 and got cut by the Yankees. That's before spring training really even began. So there was no spring training for Okajima to have hired Mizuhara and have worked with him. And then the Red Sox came out and released a statement that Ipe Mizuhara had never worked for that team. So now we have three lies in the bio of Ipe Mizuhara starting in 2018 with the Angels. We have what appears to be an exaggerated connection to Hideki Okajima by this interpreter. And so what did Shohei Ohtani know? Did he know all of that? Did he just buy all of that? Is Ipe Mizuhara a really talented grifter with a massive gambling problem? It seems like maybe that's the case. The Washington Post, meanwhile, has published a story over the weekend about the gambler, the bookie, Matthew Bauer, okay, who was part of a South Florida crew of big-time gamblers And then Bowyer became a bookie out in California. Bowyer has admitted through his attorney that he was a bookie. Bowyer did not have athlete clients, supposedly. Said he never spoke with Ohtani. The only person he ever met with, spoke with, was Ippe Mizuhara. But Mizuhara's debts, as they reached into the millions, were honored by Bowyer because, quote, he was Ohtani's best friend, unquote. And what you have here, as this picture comes out of Ippe Mizuhara in the Washington Post piece, is a profile of, quote, a compulsive gambler. That Mizuhara met Bowyer. So Ohtani's interpreter met this bookie while playing poker in Southern California in 2021. Oh, my God. Was it at the bike? Was it at the Commerce? Maybe a Hustler Casino? A home game? Yeah, I've played in all of those while I was in California, but never in rooms like they were playing, I'm sure. So they met while playing poker, and this failed exterminator, Michael Bowyer, became a commodities trader and then eventually a bookie. Went bankrupt, got back to being a bookie, yada, yada, yada. So this is what we have here, is an extremely shady dude, this interpreter, who may have been grifting Ohtani from the start on his bona fides to be an interpreter, but then they became best friends, and now this massive theft. It's starting to look like Mizuhara is going to be either successfully penned as a fall guy or genuinely was the horrendous bad actor without as much knowledge from his friend Shohei Ohtani as they would like you to believe. Bob Nightingale has written about it this morning. And Bob Nightingale writes this in USA Today, quote, let's be honest here. Nothing is going to happen to Ohtani besides a possible fine. His biggest offense may simply be helping out his best friend who has a gambling problem. So there's Nightingale. And Ohtani, quote, knowing that it was illegal to fund his debt going to an illegal bookmaker in Southern California, unquote. Baseball officials, according to Nightingale, annually have spring training meetings where they tell their players they can only bet legally with DraftKings or FanDuel, but good luck finding anyone in the game, whether it's players, front office executives, clubbies, scouts, broadcasters, and player agents, who adhere to it. One team executive said, quote, you'd be shocked to know how many players and front office people gamble. It's so different than the way it used to be. What's going on with Ohtani and his interpreter now isn't surprising at all. The only surprise is that it took so long for one of these scandals to break, unquote. So MLB is investigating, which they announced Friday afternoon just before 6 o'clock Eastern time. And we will see what happens, if anything, to Shohei Ohtani. But this scandal is... You know, MLB's now going to investigate. Ohtani's going to have to release a statement of some kind. The Dodgers are going to have to release a statement of some kind. And we'll see if they can focus and work on trying to win the division that all the money in the world says they should. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Matt, who was on Lakeshore Drive. Matt, you're on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, as we talk about this biggest story in the world right now, the Shohei Ohtani gambling story and what might happen from it. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt Spiegel, it's Matt Barron, and I'm now in Sheridan, and that's Loyola.
There you go.
Thank you for queuing it up so well. I had not been reading all of those. It really captures, to me, just so many intersections, right? The prevalence of gambling, how it's now become so much part of the fabric of sport. But, you know, and so, yeah, it is only a matter of time before this kind of thing happens. I would say, yeah, I hope. This is what we hope and is what we would, quote, should happen. But I hope that Shohei emerges from this pretty unscathed. Sounds like, you know, he's probably just guilty of being a very loyal and over-loyal friend. And I guess the thing that really strikes me is that just the timing of this was, I don't know if the timing, you know, was orchestrated in some way to minimize disruption. He's overseas. It's way early in the season. So anyway, so those are just some of my initial thoughts on that.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Well, there's multiple levels of illegality that's going on here. It's illegal to bet in California. So betting with a bookmaker on sports is technically illegal. So there's that for Mizuhara. If Ohtani's just, you know, paying off the debts, Does he get looped into that basic level of illegality? Within baseball, you're only supposed to bet on the aforementioned, sponsored partners. You're only supposed to bet with them. And again, you're not supposed to do that in California. So there's that illegality. There used to be terminology in the collective bargaining agreement that players are not allowed to bet on any sports at all. That has actually been changed. They are allowed to bet on other sports. So if Shohei was involved and did not bet on baseball, but bet, say, on soccer or some other sport, you know, or even basketball, whatever it would be, he's still dealing with a level of illegality, but nothing like betting on baseball and being banned for life or having to deal with that kind of thing. But that's why we're not probably looking at some big reckoning with sports and the sports gambling industrial complex at this point. I don't think that's what this is. There were a couple times on Thursday and Friday where I thought maybe this would be what that is. And it's not. I don't believe that's what this is. But it could be something that triggers a deeper look, a harder look at some of the associations that have gone on, and maybe a harder look into some of the hiring practices. How about media guides? What the hell, man? I can't trust what's in media guides anymore. I can't. And of course, you're getting crazy amounts of conspiracy theories that are now being bandied about. I'll mention one. After we take this next call, Gator Dale is on the north side. Dale, you're on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score. What do you say, Dale?
Hey, Matt, you know what? For a guy who's so close to him, you know your friends and who they are. I mean, this interpreter sounds like he stepped in Dopkin's poop and is just tracking it all over the place, because every time you turn the corner, there's a lie that's popping up. And that's what's bad. He's got to face this. He's got to get out in front of the media. He's got to say something. The more time you don't get out there, it's looking really, really bad. And if you look at all the other disciplinary issues, from domestic battery to drug usage to other things that have happened in MLB, I know he's the face of MLB, and he's going to make $700 million. But they need to address this soon. Rob Manfred took how many days before he's even released anything other than have his people say something. This is the face of baseball. I mean, you're talking a guy who's making $700 million, okay? Mm-hmm. What is actually going on? And you know what? I blame MLB in a way, because they brought in DraftKings as a sponsor. It's at the ballpark and everything. When you start putting stuff closer and closer to the baseball fields and the organizations, you're going to have that temptation. I mean, I guarantee you within the next year or two, you're going to see that players, when they go to states where marijuana is legal, they're going to be using it. I mean, just the way it is. I mean, in the drug testing stuff, they can focus on, you know.
I'm sure they already are using that, Dale. I'm sure that a lot of people are, are around baseball. And frankly, when it comes to that, in the wake of the opioid scandal that ravaged the Angels and certainly played a role in the death of a player and has been talked about with frankness under oath by Matt Harvey and others. I mean, I'm a longtime believer that that those items are much more damaging in terms of pain relief or anything like that than is marijuana. But that's a subject for another day. I've talked about that at different times through the years. But in terms of the gambling, yes, it's all been brought so incredibly close and all been accepted so incredibly close and either adjacent or there mixed into the ballpark. And that's not going anywhere. A team's going to be in Vegas within a couple of years here, as long as, you know, the brutal A's owner can get the Vegas deal to follow through. But there is not going to be further distance between sports gambling and professional baseball. There will have to be further restrictions and further investigations to make sure that betting on the game itself is away from it. 670 The Score is where you are. I've been tagged several times on Twitter, and a few people have texted it this morning. A Twitter thread developed with apparently made up stories about big bets being placed on days when Ohtani pitched with the Angels and how those bets then, you know, became winners because of bad starts from Ohtani and people trying to get out there that he was throwing games. And that is, of course, the horrifying possibility that baseball would just be absolutely devastated to learn. But everything that I've seen out there, everything that I've been tagged, it is nothing but a conspiracy theory at this point, including I saw stuff that got posted to Reddit, of course, and that's how this stuff happens and starts to spread like wildfire. And it was even deleted from there by conscientious Reddit users. So be wary, as always, of fake news and conspiracy theories when it goes along with this stuff. All right. It's sad because the experience in Korea for MLB was a big plus for South Korea, for the Asian markets. I enjoyed it, having baseball in my morning on Wednesday and Thursday. I greatly enjoyed that, as a matter of fact, having, you know, meaningful actual baseball. But, you know, they already knew they got me. That was not for you on opening day. That was for Korea and for the South Asian markets. Now we get word that next year MLB is going to open in Japan. MLB is going to open in Tokyo. And is it another two games that you cannot pay attention to or just sort of notice as part of your morning? Well, what if I told you it's Cubs-Dodgers? Because that is the reporting, that is the news so far, that it will be Cubs and Dodgers next year for a couple of games in Tokyo to begin the 2025 season. Huge ratings for the South Korea games in Japan and all over Asia, and now the Dodgers with Shohei and Yamamoto will be back in the Asian market, and this time it will be the Cubs. They have been privately informed, says USA Today, that they have been selected to start the year in Tokyo. Road trip. Parkins and Spiegel, live from Japan. Let's go. Oh, by the way, let's bring Hit and Run as well. Hit and Run, live from Japan.
Thanks, man.
You got it, Sean.
I would assume I'm probably still here, but, you know.
Well, I'm sorry. I'd like to, bad news for inside the clubhouse. I'm not gonna be able to squeeze them into the road trip.
Okay. Well, I guess
the problem is, you know, Bruce will get there.
I was going to say, Bruce is going to be there, man.
Bruce will 100% be there with Marquee or otherwise. He will find a way. And he's a genius at getting himself to these events. He's brilliant at it. So Bruce will be there. All right, so fine. Tell you what, David Haw, if you're listening, good morning. Have a good run. I will host Inside the Clubhouse. If only one show can go, I'll take one for the team and go to Japan for those games.
Gosh, you're the hero we need but don't deserve, Speaks.
I think so. Not all heroes wear capes. Some of them wear glasses, and they wear shorts as they broadcast from home.
And they button the top button as well.
If I was wearing a shirt with a top button, it would be buttoned right now. But, man, let's go. Come on. Imanaga establishes himself as a top-of-the-rotation guy next year in Game 2 of that series. It's Imanaga versus Yamamoto with Ohtani and Seiya Suzuki both in the lineups. Let's roll. Come on. You know, baseball would enjoy it. I would enjoy it. You would enjoy it. So why not? Lot to get to still on Hit and Run. A bunch of things that I need to squeeze in before we get out of here, including a conversation with Jack McMullen from Just Baseball on something very cool that happened in both spring trainings in the Cactus and in the Grapefruit League. And we'll talk about some of the young players who are going to affect both teams during the course of the year. And you'll get a great story about a leader on the Cubs helping out a young player who's not even breaking camp with the team, but you know is going to matter this year and many years and beyond. Keep it here. It's Matt Spiegel with you on The Score on Hit and Run.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Fly ball hit to deep left field. This may go. It is gone. Matt Shaw goes deep. His first home run of the spring.
How about that? A slider that just caught too much plate. Matt Shaw was out in front of that pitch and still had enough bat speed and hand speed and strength to hit it out of the ballpark.
Matt Shaw is a young player I am looking forward to seeing at some point this year in the big leagues. Matt Spiegel is me. I am with you. It is Hit and Run on 670 The Score, The Score's venerable baseball show. I am back, baby. Let's roll. Onward. No bump and run today. No Bears news interrupting or derailing our baseball conversation. And to continue the baseball conversation, let's bring in Jack McMullen from Just Baseball. You see him on the call-up pod, among many others in the Just Baseball family. Also voice, one of the voices of the Indianapolis Indians in AAA baseball as that season will get ready to go soon. Jack, good morning. When's opening day for Indy?
Friday, man. Triple A ball opens the day after Major League opening day, and then I think Double A, High A, and Low A all follow that following Friday, or maybe that following Tuesday, or it's staggered or something. All I know is like Triple A ball needs to get going as soon as possible, and that'll be about 24 hours after true opening day at the big league level.
There you go. There you go. All right, well, let's start with those young Cubs prospects, because I want to ask you about spring breakout that you were out in Florida. But first, of all those young Cubs prospects that did not make the team, PCA, Shaw, Casey, I saw Chase Strumpf, we saw Kevin Alcantara, Ben Brown threw four innings yesterday and looked good. There's Cade Horton. So that's the big list. Of those guys, who do you suspect might make an impact on this team as they try to win the division this year?
Can I say all of them, or is that cheating?
That is cheating. I'm going to need you to be more specific.
Okay, got you. All right, so the only one in spring training that it really felt like they were in a competition, at least until Belly showed back up, was PCA, right? So, you know, you think, hey, you know, maybe Pete Crow Armstrong is going to win the job if Bellinger opts to go get $100 million elsewhere. It turns out that, you know, he got less than that, and he's back, and that pinched PCA out of the plans. I think PCA will factor into the Cubs, you know, lineup and their competitive idea at some point this year. But, you know, like Matt Shaw hit the ground running in an exceptional way last year when he got drafted. Like he was really good in High A and then he got up to Double A. And, you know, obviously he was good in spring trainings too. So you think if the third base questions continue to rear their head this year, and hey, Christopher Morel is still throwing two seam fastballs with blank inches of horizontal run over to first base from third, you know, maybe it's Shaw's time after the All-Star break. I will say Ben Brown is a very fun name to watch. I think Ben Brown could do something very similar to Luke Little last year, where he comes up and immediately looks like a really good reliever. I have no idea if they're playing a starter or reliever. And then don't factor Cade out, man. Like, Cade Horton threw 88 in the third innings last year. He got up to Double A. If they cap him at like 110 innings, why can't he throw 40 of those at the major league level if they deem him ready?
Well, see, that's the bigger concept, isn't it? Where are we these days on getting the kids into the big leagues? Is it a uniform as quickly as possible thing with some of the arms out there? We've seen the Braves do this with multiple pitchers, just like, oh, God, if he's going to play, bring him up. And they did it. I think Michael Harris skipped AAA, if I remember correctly. Jackson Churio is going to start in center field for the Brewers. He's played six games at AAA. So, you know, where are we as a concept around baseball in the importance of time for these kids or using the bullets on the big league level?
So you got to think about baseball in the macro to kind of digest that. And I remember MLB Network when I was like 10 years old, I guess, maybe even 12 years old. I'm thinking like early 2010s was Buck Showalter. There was a commercial. Buck Showalter was clipped saying, this is the golden era of baseball. Guys are faster than they've ever been. They throw harder than they've ever, you know, than they ever have. And they've hit the ball farther than they ever have. That's only going to continue to be the case. You think about, you know, the great players in our game, chances are they're more athletic than they've ever been. Has the game changed? Absolutely. Is it, you know, less of an art form, especially on the hill? Sure, but, like, we've opted for explosion instead. I feel like the baseline hitter and the baseline prospect is as good as the baseline prospect has ever been. And that means that you can kind of fast-track hitters a little bit more so, but I really think that you see it on the hill. And I love that you mentioned Atlanta. I mean, A.J. Smith-Shawver was on a rocket ship to the big leagues last year. He started in High A, he got to, you know, Major League Baseball, and he was just optioned out of spring training. So if the need is there, I do think the idea of quote-unquote wasting bullets in the minor leagues for pitchers is a thing, especially when you see the uptick in soft tissue stuff. And, I mean, a lot of guys blow out, too. So you have to think about pitch economy. If you feel like a guy is big league ready, why not have him throw these pitches in the big leagues?
Especially if the ask is not one that is as based on experience as it used to be. If you're not talking right. about a wide array of stuff and setting guys up from one at bat to the next, you're talking about give me what you got for as long as you can, which seems to be the case with a lot of these young kids. On the White Sox, is there anybody other than Colson Montgomery that fans should be excited about looking forward to as a possible impact for this year?
I think so. At this point last year, you were saying maybe probably sort of kind of Brian Ramos. I think you can truly factor in Brian Ramos as a guy that you should be excited about, and that's a guy that could debut at the end of this year. But think about what they did at the deadline in this offseason, man. I mean, they killed it. And you got to credit Rick Hahn for his last deadline. Getting Edgar Caro, that catcher from the Angels system, in that Lucas Giolito trade, getting Edgar Caro and Kai Bush was incredible. And Caro was, I think, 19 years old in AA last year. Mm-hmm. That's a catcher that should be in Charlotte to open the year, and that could be the catcher of the future by year's end if Maldonado and Stassi are just looking like, you know, they're going to hit the end of their one-year deal, and that's that. Adios. So I think Edgar Caro is a guy to watch. And then the guys that you just got back in the Dylan Cease deal, Drew Thorpe, who was a Yankee farmhand last year, was part of the Soto deal and then part of the Cease deal again. He may have the best changeup in all of minor league baseball. You saw him get roughed up a little bit in big league spring training, but that's a guy that's hardly thrown above high A. Jairo Iriarte is another guy that has like major league bullpen stuff already, mid-90s fastball, great fastball shape, and a wipeout slider. I think those are some guys that you can get excited about that, you know, hey, if they are 20, 30 games below 500, you could possibly see those guys in September, and you're intrigued by it.
Spring breakout got kind of buried by the onslaught of bigger news around these parts with the Bears and otherwise. But what was that experience like for you and all you guys at Just Baseball? For anybody who doesn't know, MLB arranged that teams would play each other, usually against either traditional or local rivals, with their absolute best prospects in the lineups at the same time. Did that pay off for you as a viewer and as media?
Oh my gosh, yeah. Like that was awesome, and I hope that is the start of something we get every year. And this is the first of many spring breakout, you know, weekends that we get, because everywhere you look, you get excited about the future. First game that we were at, I mean, we were sitting right behind home plate for Paul Skenes against Jackson Holliday. You don't really get that unless you were to get it in AAA or, you know, AA, I guess. But it seems like Jackson's going to be in AAA, and we have no idea where Skenes is going yet. But, you know, you've got this lineup, the Orioles, for example. Jackson Holliday is the number one prospect in baseball. But a guy like Kobe Mayo is a top 15 prospect in baseball. Samuel Basayo, the young catcher, is a top 20 prospect in baseball. You get to see all three of those guys in the same lineup. And with the Cubs, like, you know, you take a look at MLB Pipeline or just baseball.com or ESPN, whoever puts out Cubs top prospect lists, and you see all these names and you say, okay, well, I got to tune into Myrtle Beach, and then I got to tune into Tennessee, and I got to tune into South Bend. No, like, they're all in the same place for that game. It's almost like a futures game for your favorite team's organization. I loved the concept, and I thought it was really well executed.
Who are the prospects that are going to break camp, it looks like, that you're most excited about? I see Paul Skenes might not. It's a matter of how soon he gets up here, the fireballer for the Pirates. Who is going to break camp that you're looking forward to seeing, some of the newbies?
Yeah, so Skenes was already reassigned. A couple of guys that are actually going to debut against both Chicago teams. The most exciting one is Wyatt Langford with Texas. Of course, the Cubs open in Arlington. Langford is having like this out-of-body experience over the last year, but like this may just be who he is. He showed up to Florida as a catcher, University of Florida as a catcher. I think he was like 0-for-4 with a punch out his freshman year. Sophomore year, he OPSed over 1,100. Junior year last year, his draft year, he OPSed over 1,200. And then he gets to minor league baseball, and this guy hit 360. in 200 plate appearances. So he's going to be, like, I mean, he's going to be the opening day DH for Texas. He hasn't failed yet at really any level. The comp is probably Paul Goldschmidt in terms of what he can do offensively. You can really dream on a guy that can flirt with 300, can steal 15 bags, and can flirt with 30 homers if all goes according to plan. So Langford is the guy to watch, I'd say, with Texas. And then Detroit and the White Sox open up against each other, and Colt Keith was the other rookie, aside from Chorio, that signed that extension this offseason. Mm-hmm. Colt Keith hit 300 with just about 30 homers last year, drove in 100 in double and triple A as a 21-year-old. So I'd say Langford and Keith are the two guys that are going to be debuting on opening day that you should really keep an eye out for.
All right, just taking notes for my fantasy draft. I have one on Tuesday night. I'm really looking forward to it. All right, so yeah.
Yeah, cool. Later than I wanted. I think it's 9:30 Eastern. Is that right?
Yeah, whatever. My convenience matters. You have to bow to the olds in the Midwest every once in a while. All right?
Got it.
I am the old in that league. All right, so is this, by the way, the year that the Tigers make the leap that so many have been expecting and dreaming on? I mean, so many good young arms there. Maybe the Benetti bump is what pushes Detroit over the hump this year.
Wrong city to talk about the Benetti bump, I guess, right?
Mm.
No, I would say tentatively, yes. They have an exciting lineup, and that rotation is fun. I've been a sucker for Casey Mize. I think that dude is a star waiting to break out. And he's back from TJ. He's healthy. He won a rotation spot. I think Reese Olson is really solid. He won a rotation spot. Tarik Skubal could win the Cy Young this year. That lefty is dominant. And you think about best pitching coaches in the game. I think about, you know, Mark Pryor in LA. I think about Kyle Snyder in Tampa. You know, you could go to Mel Stottlemyre Jr. in Miami. You got to think about Chris Fetter in Detroit. That guy is getting the most out of every arm that he crossed paths with. Chris Fetter was at Michigan when they went to the national title game. I think Chris Fetter is doing amazing things in Detroit. And that roster's fun, man. Spencer Torkelson may go ballistic this year.
Jack McMullen, thanks so much. We'll be watching, listening, TikToking, and more with Just Baseball all season long, man. Appreciate you.
I'm going to take Langford from you on Tuesday night.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see about that. I could reach early, maybe. I did win the league. I am defending champ, Sean. It's a good league. And I believe in my powers to repeat. Nobody's done it since it's only year two of the league, but I think I'm the guy to get it done.
Big year. Big year. Yeah.
Big, big year. It's Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score. Cubs baseball comes your way at 3:00 today. That's when coverage begins with Zach Zabin and Ron Coomer on the call for Cubs Mariners. For the latest news on the Cubs or Sox, try listening to chapters from our show through the Odyssey app. Just search for 670 The Score and tap on a recent episode of our show to get started. And by the way, the Score listener line that you've been calling on and texting on is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. The White Sox will come north from Arizona tomorrow. Couple of moves that have already taken place might set the table for a couple of more. Want to update you on that. And let's talk about a guy who looks like he has made the Cubs opening day roster and a couple who did not as well. And I mentioned a story that you need to hear about the Cubs leader in the clubhouse as well. All of that coming up before we roll at noon on Hit and Run on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
123 games last year for Cooper. This is hit high and deep to right. It may go, and this one is way out of here. Cubs strike first. Garrett Cooper with a three-run home run the other way. It's 3-0 Cubs here in the first. Cooper's first home run of the spring since signing with the Cubs. 3-0 lead.
Garrett Cooper. Who in the hell is Garrett Cooper? Garrett Cooper is a first baseman for the Chicago Cubs who is making the team. He said on Saturday, quote, "You feel like a kid again getting that phone call." So cool. Patrick Wisdom was probably going to be the option at corner infield against left-handed pitching and maybe the DH. But for now, Patrick Wisdom has a back issue that's going to have him start the year on the injured list. He's going to be out at least until mid-April, according to Craig Counsell. So Garrett Cooper ends up making the team. That means a couple of guys who've been out there giving it a shot. Dominic Smith, the left-handed hitting first baseman, among them, were allowed to opt out of their minor league deals and see if any other big league team would do and possibly pick them up. According to Craig Counsell, Garrett proved himself as a player and a hitter, fills kind of a role on this team that we need to complement some other players. Cooper had a couple homers, four walks, five ribbies, and 30 plate appearances. 7 years in the bigs with the Yankees, the Marlins, and the Padres. And now here he is, after several good years in Miami, actually, with the Cubs. And they need some pop against lefties. They need pop against all teams, really. So anyway, Garrett Cooper makes the team. Carl Edwards Jr. did not make the team. Was interesting to see the string bean slinger looking exactly the same as he always did, just as thin as he always did. A couple of White Sox moves I want to get to, but I mentioned this from early on in spring training, but a cool indicator of how seriously Dansby Swanson takes his role as a leader on this team. You'd known that Dansby was a leader at Vanderbilt, came up as a young guy in Arizona, then of course in Atlanta, and learned along with Freddie Freeman, and really was very pleased to come here and, among other things, try to help kind of mentor some of the young players. Here's Boog Sciambi from a broadcast earlier in the spring talking about Dansby and Pete Crow Armstrong.
The Cubs are invested in the future success of PCA. He was telling me the other day about how the veterans, specifically Dansby Swanson, has reached out to him in the offseason at one point. And then I asked Dansby about this. He said, what's good? They went back and forth. That's what the kids say when they just want to check in. What's good? And
I have to work on that.
PCA ended up sending Dansby Swanson some hitting video, and then Dansby eventually said, call me tonight. And it was more of a, yeah, call me or you're going to be in trouble. And so he did call him, and they talked for about an hour. And yeah, you know, you're looking at a guy in Dansby Swanson who's, I mean, Pete called him the captain. But one of the things that he wants to do is impact younger players and try to make them feel more comfortable.
That's pretty cool. Dansby reaching out in the off season. And then, of course, all spring long, those young players at camp getting a chance to hang out with the big leaguers, the made guys, the world champions, the all-stars, the $170 million-plus contract dudes. That's on some level, that's what the spring is all about. You know, all of those folks being together with the backfields and the front fields all coalescing, everybody mingling in the cafeteria, mingling in the weight room, and building relationships that can last an entire career, if not a lifetime. It's one of the beautiful things about the game. You know, Dansby as a young player getting mentored by the folks that he did, and now as a player in his prime wanting to do the same and pay it forward. It's some good, good stuff. Looking forward to watching that Cubs team this year, beginning on Thursday in Texas. And you'll hear me every once in a while doing some pre and post and the fifth inning of play-by-play. I think May 5th is my first one of that, so it won't be on Hit and Run that day, as I'll be slipping in to do pre-post in the 5th, along with Zach Zabeman and Ron Coomer. Always treasure those chances to get to hang out that close to the ball game and that close to the ball players. A couple of moves out of White Sox camp. Tuki Toussaint has been designated for assignment. Speaking of the Arizona Diamondbacks, I believe, by the way, that Tuki go with Dansby Swanson in that trade for Shelby Miller?
Wow.
If memory serves.
Yeah, you 100% nailed it. Yes, he did.
So Dansby Swanson and Tuki Toussaint from Arizona to the Braves in that trade for Shelby Miller, a trade that Dave Stewart made that his boss at the time, Tony La Russa, approved of. did not turn out so well. But Dansby loved his time as a Brave and is now here. Tuki Toussaint has bounced around, had some opportunities with the White Sox last year and pitched pretty well, but not well enough in spring, apparently. Will not make the rotation, will not make the team. Kevin Pillar, who was cut on Friday, has been re-signed to a major league contract. So Pillar looking likely to break camp with the team. In the meantime, the White Sox, who was it yesterday or just the day before, they signed Robbie Grossman, the former Oakland A, the former Atlanta Brave, actually, last year, part of their push to win the division, former Detroit Tiger, who hits left-handed pitchers very, very well, was still out there and on the scrap heap coming off an injury, has now signed with the White Sox and probably will start in Charlotte because he's not quite ready physically. But that is a dude who absolutely obliterated left-handers last year, a WRC plus of 158. WRC is weighted runs created, and weighted runs created plus measures against 100 as the scale. 158 is crazy high, and that's what he did against left-handed pitching. So you'll probably get Robbie Grossman eventually as a platoon option with Dominic Fletcher, the young Diamondback who came over via trade in this offseason, and that'll be part of the White Sox outfield mix. Right now, still 42 players in White Sox camp, including 10 outfielders. Lots of moves to go. Coming up this week, go see Burnsy and Holmes and Rahimi. Layla and Lawrence and Dan all together from 10 to 2 on Thursday. That's going to be at Wings and Rings on Halstead before the White Sox home opener. So 10 to 2. That is going to be brought to you by Modelo. And then a week from tomorrow, Monday the 1st, that show will be at Sluggers in Wrigleyville from 10 until 12:45, brought to you by BetMGM before the home opener at Wrigley Field. And then after the game, me and Danny Parkins, Parkins and Spiegel, will be broadcasting our show from the Cubs broadcast booth at Wrigley Field, wrapping up what should be a very fun Cubs home opener that day. Thank you to all my guests on the show today, Jack McMullen from Just Baseball, and thank you to Herb Lawrence from CHGO. That was fun. Thank you to Sean Sears for doing a great job producing the show, as always. Thank you to you, the listeners and the callers and the texters, for making the show what it is. CBS Sports Radio is next. Cubs Baseball comes your way at 3. I'm back tomorrow on Parkins and Spiegel right here on a full broadcast day tomorrow on 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
They are considered to be extremely close. You know, it's not just Mizuhara would translate for Otani during interviews. He's with him, you know, basically all day long. Comes to the ballpark with him, comes to meetings with him, you know, pregame, postgame, in the dugout with him. You know, is considered, you know, there's been a lot of stories written over the years about the closeness of their relationship. So it's not, you know, as simple as a guy you work with who you meet up with at, you know, 5:30 when you've got to do an interview, and then, you know, you part your separate ways. They're together very, very often.
That is Andy McCullough from The Athletic, the former Los Angeles Times writer, on Parkins and Spiegel the other day, talking about the Shohei Ohtani scandal and his friendship with his interpreter, Ipe Mizuhara. This is Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. We're going to take your calls on this in a couple of minutes. But let me set the table on a couple things that are going on. Ipe Mizuhara has been Shohei's attorney since getting hired by the Angels in 2018. At that time, in the Angels media guide, and ever since then, in media guides with the bio for Ipe Mizuhara, it said a couple of things. It said that Ipe Mizuhara had attended UC Riverside, University of California at Riverside, that he had graduated there in 2007. And it said that he spent spring training in 2012 working for the Yankees as an interpreter for the Japanese pitcher Hideki Okajima. Okay. Also, a bunch of different news reports had noted that Mizuhara served as Hideki Okajima's interpreter all the way back in 2010 with the Boston Red Sox. That's where he reportedly got his first major league opportunity. Well, over the weekend, Sam Blum from The Athletic started digging into this because it was first reported by NBC Los Angeles. University of California Riverside says Ipe Mizuhara never attended their school, which he said he had graduated from in 2007. Uh-oh. Starting to smell like, who's the Notre Dame coach who got fired just after being hired? George O'Leary, who lied about a bunch of stuff or any number of things? Uh-oh. Well, it goes further. Multiple news reports show that Hideki Okajima, who Mizuhara says he interpreted for in Yankees camp in 2012, failed a physical in the middle of February 2012 and got cut by the Yankees. That's before spring training really even began. So there was no spring training for Okajima to have hired Mizuhara and have worked with him. And then the Red Sox came out and released a statement that Ipe Mizuhara had never worked for that team. So now we have three lies in the bio of Ipe Mizuhara starting in 2018 with the Angels. We have what appears to be an exaggerated connection to Hideki Okajima by this interpreter. And so what did Shohei Ohtani know? Did he know all of that? Did he just buy all of that? Is Ipe Mizuhara a really talented grifter with a massive gambling problem? It seems like maybe that's the case. The Washington Post, meanwhile, has published a story over the weekend about the gambler, the bookie, Matthew Bauer, okay, who was part of a South Florida crew of big-time gamblers, and then Bauer became a bookie out in California. Bauer has admitted through his attorney that he was a bookie. Bauer did not have athlete clients, supposedly. Said he never spoke with Ohtani. The only person he ever met with, spoke with, was Ipe Mizuhara. But Mizuhara's debts, as they reached into the millions, were honored by Bauer because, quote, he was Ohtani's best friend, unquote. And what you have here, as this picture comes out of Ipe Mizuhara in the Washington Post piece, is a profile of, quote, a compulsive gambler, that Mizuhara met Bauer. So Ohtani's interpreter met this bookie while playing poker in Southern California in 2021. Oh, my God. Was it at the bike? Was it at the Commerce? Maybe a Hustler Casino? A home game? Yeah, I've played in all of those while I was in California, but never in rooms like they were playing, I'm sure. So they met while playing poker. And this failed exterminator, Michael Bauer, became a commodities trader and then eventually a bookie. Went bankrupt, got back to being a bookie, yada, yada, yada. So this is what we have here, is an extremely shady dude, this interpreter, who may have been grifting Ohtani from the start on his bona fides to be an interpreter, but then they became best friends. And now this massive theft. It's starting to look like Mizuhara is going to be either successfully penned as a fall guy or genuinely was the horrendous bad actor without as much knowledge from his friend Shohei Ohtani as they would like you to believe. Bob Nightingale has written about it this morning. And Bob Nightingale writes this in USA Today, quote, "Let's be honest here. Nothing is going to happen to Ohtani besides a possible fine. His biggest offense may simply be helping out his best friend who has a gambling problem." So there's Nightingale. And Ohtani, quote, "knowing that it was illegal to fund his debt going to an illegal bookmaker in Southern California," unquote. Baseball officials, according to Nightingale, annually have spring training meetings where they tell their players they can only bet legally with DraftKings or FanDuel, but good luck finding anyone in the game, whether it's players, front office executives, clubbies, scouts, broadcasters, and player agents, who adhere to it. One team executive said, quote, "You'd be shocked to know how many players and front office people gamble. It's so different than the way it used to be. What's going on with Ohtani and his interpreter now isn't surprising at all. The only surprise is that it took so long for one of these scandals to break," unquote. So MLB is investigating, which they announced Friday afternoon just before 6 o'clock Eastern time. And we will see what happens, if anything, to Shohei Ohtani. But this scandal is... You know, MLB's now going to investigate. Ohtani's going to have to release a statement of some kind. The Dodgers are going to have to release a statement of some kind. And we'll see if they can focus and work on trying to win the division that all the money in the world says they should. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Matt, who is on Lakeshore Drive. Matt, you're on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, as we talk about this biggest story in the world right now, the Shohei Ohtani gambling story and what might happen from it. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Matt Spiegel, it's Matt Barron, and I'm now in Sheridan, and that's Loyola.
There you go.
Thank you for queuing it up so well. I had not been reading all of those. It really captures, to me, just so many intersections, right? The prevalence of gambling, how it's now become so much part of the fabric of sport. But, you know, and so, yeah, it is only a matter of time before this kind of thing happens. I would say, yeah, I hope. This is what we hope and is what we would, quote, should happen. But I hope that Shohei emerges from this pretty unscathed. Sounds like, you know, he's probably just guilty of being a very loyal and over-loyal friend. And I guess the thing that really strikes me is that just the timing of this was, I don't know if the timing, you know, was orchestrated in some way to minimize disruption. He's overseas. It's way early in the season. So anyway, so those are just some of my initial thoughts on that.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Well, there's multiple levels of illegality that's going on here. It's illegal to bet in California. So betting with a bookmaker on sports is technically illegal. So there's that for Mizuhara. If Ohtani's just, you know, paying off the debts, does he get looped into that basic level of illegality? Within baseball, you're only supposed to bet on the aforementioned, sponsored partners. You're only supposed to bet with them. And again, you're not supposed to do that in California. So there's that illegality. There used to be terminology in the collective bargaining agreement that players are not allowed to bet on any sports at all. That has actually been changed. They are allowed to bet on other sports. So if Shohei was involved and did not bet on baseball, but bet, say, on soccer or some other sport, you know, or even basketball, whatever it would be, he's still dealing with a level of illegality, but nothing like betting on baseball and being banned for life or having to deal with that kind of thing. But that's why we're not probably looking at some big reckoning with sports and the sports gambling industrial complex at this point. I don't think that's what this is. There were a couple times on Thursday and Friday where I thought maybe this would be what that is. And it's not. I don't believe that's what this is. But it could be something that triggers a deeper look, a harder look at some of the associations that have gone on, and maybe a harder look into some of the hiring practices. How about media guides? What the hell, man? I can't trust what's in media guides anymore. I can't. And of course, you're getting crazy amounts of conspiracy theories that are now being bandied about. I'll mention one. After we take this next call, Gator Dale is on the north side. Dale, you're on Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score. What do you say, Dale?
Hey, Matt, you know what? For a guy who's so close to him, you know your your friends and who they are. I mean, this interpreter sounds like he stepped in Dopkin's poop and is just tracking it all over the place, because every time you turn the corner, there's a lie that's popping up. And that's what's bad. He's got to face this. He's got to get out in front of the media. He's got to say something. The more time you don't get out there, it's looking really, really bad. And if you look at all the other disciplinary issues, from domestic battery to drug usage to other things that have happened in MLB, I know he's the face of MLB and he's going to make $700 million. But they need to address this soon. Rob Manfred took how many days before he, I mean, he, I don't think he's even released anything other than have his people say something. This is the face of baseball. I mean, you're talking a guy who's making $700 million, okay? Mm-hmm. What is actually going on? And you know what? I blame MLB in a way, because they brought in DraftKings as a sponsor. It's at the ballpark and everything. When you start putting stuff closer and closer to the baseball fields and the organizations, you're going to have that temptation. I mean, I guarantee you within the next year or two, you're going to see that players, when they go to states where marijuana is legal, they're going to be using it. I mean, just the way it is. I mean, in the drug testing stuff, they can focus on, you know.
I'm sure they already are using that, Dale. I'm sure that a lot of people are, are around baseball. And frankly, when it comes to that, in the wake of the opioid scandal that ravaged the Angels and certainly played a role in the death of a player, and has been talked about with frankness under oath by Matt Harvey and others. I mean, I'm a longtime believer that that those items are much more damaging in terms of pain relief or anything like that than is marijuana. But that's a subject for another day. I've talked about that at different times through the years. But in terms of the gambling, yes, it's all been brought so incredibly close and all been accepted so incredibly close and either adjacent or there mixed into the ballpark. And that's not going anywhere. A team's going to be in Vegas within a couple of years here, as long as, you know, the brutal A's owner can get the Vegas deal to follow through. But there is not going to be further distance between sports gambling and professional baseball. There will have to be further restrictions and further investigations to make sure that betting on the game itself is away from it. 670 The Score is where you are. I've been tagged several times on Twitter, and a few people have texted it this morning. A Twitter thread developed with apparently made-up stories about big bets being placed on days when Ohtani pitched with the Angels and how those bets then, you know, became winners because of bad starts from Ohtani and people trying to get out there that he was throwing games. And that is, of course, the horrifying possibility that baseball would just be absolutely devastated to learn. But everything that I've seen out there, everything that I've been tagged, it is nothing but a conspiracy theory at this point, including I saw stuff that got posted to Reddit, of course, and that's how this stuff happens and starts to spread like wildfire. And it was even deleted from there by conscientious Reddit users. So be wary, as always, of fake news and conspiracy theories when it goes along with this stuff. All right. It's sad because the experience in Korea for MLB was a big plus for South Korea, for the Asian markets. I enjoyed it, having baseball in my morning on Wednesday and Thursday. I greatly enjoyed that, as a matter of fact, having, meaningful actual baseball. But, you know, they already knew they got me. That was not for you on opening day. That was for Korea and for the South Asian markets. Now we get word that next year MLB is going to open in Japan. MLB is going to open in Tokyo. And is it another two games that you cannot pay attention to or just sort of notice as part of your morning? Well, what if I told you it's Cubs-Dodgers? Because that is the reporting, that is the news so far, that it will be Cubs and Dodgers next year for a couple of games in Tokyo to begin the 2025 season. huge ratings for the South Korea games in Japan and all over Asia. And now the Dodgers with Shohei and Yamamoto will be back in the Asian market, and this time it will be the Cubs. They have been privately informed, says USA Today, that they have been selected to start the year in Tokyo. Road trip. Parkins and Spiegel, live from Japan. Let's go. Oh, by the way, let's bring Hit and Run as well. Hit and Run, live from Japan.
Thanks, man.
You got it, Sean.
I would assume I'm probably still here, but, you know.
Well, I'm sorry. It's bad news for inside the clubhouse. I'm not gonna be able to squeeze them into the road trip.
Okay. Well, I guess
the problem is, you know, Bruce will get there.
I was going to say, Bruce is going to be there, man.
Bruce will 100% be there with Marquee or otherwise. He will find a way, and he's a genius at getting himself to these events. He's brilliant at it. So Bruce will be there. All right. So fine. Tell you what, David Haw, if you're listening, good morning. Have a good run. I will host Inside the Clubhouse. If only one show can go, I'll take one for the team and go to Japan for those games.
Gosh, you're the hero we need but don't deserve, Speaks.
I think so. Not all heroes wear capes. Some of them wear glasses, and they wear shorts as they broadcast from home.
And they button the top button as well.
If I was wearing a shirt with a top button, it would be buttoned right now. But, man, let's go. Come on. Imanaga establishes himself as a top-of-the-rotation guy next year in Game 2 of that series. It's Imanaga versus Yamamoto with Otani and Seiya Suzuki both in the lineups. Let's roll. Come on. You know, baseball would enjoy it. I would enjoy it. You would enjoy it. So why not? Lot to get to still on Hit and Run. A bunch of things that I need to squeeze in before we get out of here, including a conversation with Jack McMullen from Just Baseball on something very cool that happened in both spring trainings in the Cactus and in the Grapefruit League. And we'll talk about some of the young players who are going to affect both teams during the course of the year. And you'll get a great story about a leader on the Cubs helping out a young player who's not even breaking camp with the team, but you know is going to matter this year and many years and beyond. Keep it here. It's Matt Spiegel with you on The Score on Hit and Run.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
Fly ball hit to deep left field. This may go. It is gone. Matt Shaw goes deep. His first home run of the spring.
How about that? A slider that just caught too much plate. Matt Shaw was out in front of that pitch and still had enough bat speed and hand speed and strength to hit it out of the ballpark.
Matt Shaw is a young player I am looking forward to seeing at some point this year in the big leagues. Matt Spiegel is me. I am with you. It is Hit and Run on 670 The Score. The Score's venerable baseball show. I am back, baby. Let's roll. Onward. No bump and run today. No Bears news interrupting or derailing our baseball conversation. And to continue the baseball conversation, let's bring in Jack McMullen from Just Baseball. You see him on the call-up pod, among many others in the Just Baseball family. Also one of the voices of the Indianapolis Indians in AAA baseball as that season will get ready to go soon. Jack, good morning. When's opening day for Indy?
Friday, man. Triple-A ball opens the day after Major League opening day, and then I think Double-A, High-A, and Low-A all follow that following Friday or maybe that following Tuesday, or it's staggered or something. All I know is, like, Triple-A ball needs to get going as soon as possible, and that'll be about 24 hours after true opening day at the big league level.
There you go. There you go. All right, well, let's start with those young Cubs prospects, because I want to ask you about spring breakout that you were at in Florida. But first, of all those young Cubs prospects that did not make the team, PCA, Shaw, Casey, I saw Chase Strumpf, we saw Kevin Alcantara, Ben Brown threw four innings yesterday and looked good. There's Cade Horton. So that's the big list. Of those guys, who do you suspect might make an impact on this team as they try to win the division this year?
Can I say all of them, or is that cheating?
That is cheating. I'm going to need you to be more specific.
Okay. Got you. All right. So the only one in spring training that it really felt like they were in a competition, at least until Belly showed back up, was PCA, right? So you know, you think, hey, you know, maybe Pete Crow Armstrong is going to win the job if Bellinger opts to go get $100 million elsewhere. It turns out that, you know, he got less than that, and he's back, and that pinched PCA out of the plans. I think PCA will factor into the Cubs, you know, lineup and their competitive idea at some point this year. But, you know, like, Matt Shaw hit the ground running in an exceptional way last year when he got drafted. Like, he was really good in high A, and then he got up to double A, and, you know, obviously he was good in spring trainings too. So you think if the third base questions continue to rear their head this year, and hey, Christopher Morel is still throwing two seam fastballs with blank inches of horizontal run over to first base from third, you know, maybe it's Shaw's time after the All-Star break. I will say Ben Brown is a very fun name to watch. I think Ben Brown could do something very similar to Luke Little last year, where he comes up and immediately looks like a really good reliever. I have no idea if they're playing a starter or reliever. And then don't factor Cade out, man. Like, Cade Horton threw 88 in the third innings last year. He got up to double A. If they cap him at like 110 innings, why can't he throw 40 of those at the major league level if they deem him ready?
Well, see, that's the bigger concept, isn't it? Where are we these days on getting the kids into the big leagues? Is it a uniform as quickly as possible thing with some of the arms out there? We've seen the Braves do this with multiple pitchers, just like, oh, God, if he's going to play, bring him up. And they did it. I think Michael Harris skipped Triple A, if I remember correctly. Jack Centurio is going to start in center field for the Brewers. He's played six games at Triple A. So, you know, where are we as a concept around baseball in the importance of time for these kids or using the bullets on the big league level?
So you got to think about baseball in the macro to kind of digest that. And I remember MLB Network when I was like 10 years old, I guess, maybe even 12 years old. I'm thinking like early 2010s was Buck Showalter. There was a commercial. Buck Showalter was clipped saying, this is the golden era of baseball. Guys are faster than they've ever been. They throw harder than they've ever, you know, than they ever have. And they've hit the ball farther than they ever have. That's only going to continue to be the case. You think about, you know, the great players in our game, chances are they're more athletic than they've ever been. Has the game changed? Absolutely. Is it, you know, less of an art form, especially on the hill? Sure, but, like, we've opted for explosion instead. I feel like the baseline hitter and the baseline prospect is as good as the baseline prospect has ever been. And that means that you can kind of fast-track hitters a little bit more so, but I really think that you see it on the hill. And I love that you mentioned Atlanta. I mean, A.J. Smith-Shawver was on a rocket ship to the big leagues last year. He started in high A, he got to, you know, Major League Baseball, and he was just optioned out of spring training. So if the need is there, I do think the idea of, quote-unquote, wasting bullets in the minor leagues for pitchers is a thing, especially when you see the uptick in soft tissue stuff. And, I mean, a lot of guys blow out, too. So you have to think about pitch economy. If you feel like a guy is big league ready, why not have him throw these pitches in the big leagues?
Especially if the ask is not one that is as based on experience as it used to be. If you're not talking right about a wide array of stuff and setting guys up from one at bat to the next, you're talking about give me what you got for as long as you can, which seems to be the case with a lot of these young kids. On the White Sox, is there anybody other than Colson Montgomery that fans should be excited about looking forward to as a possible impact for this year?
I think so. At this point last year, you were saying maybe, probably, sort of, kind of Brian Ramos. I think you can truly factor in Brian Ramos as a guy that you should be excited about, and that's a guy that could debut at the end of this year. But think about what they did at the deadline in this offseason, man. I mean, they killed it. And you got to credit Rick Hahn for his last deadline. Getting Edgar Caro, that catcher from the Angels system, in that Lucas Giolito trade, getting Edgar Caro and Kai Bush was incredible. And Caro was, I think, 19 years old in Double-A last year. Mm-hmm. That's a catcher that should be in Charlotte to open the year, and that could be the catcher of the future by year's end if Maldonado and Stassi are just looking like, you know, they're going to hit the end of their one-year deal, and that's that. Adios. So I think Edgar Caro is a guy to watch. And then the guys that you just got back in the Dylan Cease deal. Drew Thorpe, who was, you know, a Yankee farmhand last year, was part of the Soto deal and then part of the Cease deal again. he may have the best changeup in all of minor league baseball. You saw him get roughed up a little bit in big league spring training, but that's a guy that's hardly thrown above high A. Jairo Iriarte is another guy that has like major league bullpen stuff already, mid-90s fastball, great fastball shape, and a wipeout slider. I think those are some guys that you can get excited about that, you know, hey, if they are 20, 30 games below 500, you could possibly see those guys in September, and you're intrigued by it.
Hmm. Spring breakout got kind of buried by the onslaught of bigger news around these parts with the Bears and otherwise. But what was that experience like for you and all you guys at Just Baseball? For anybody who doesn't know, MLB arranged that teams would play each other, usually against either traditional or local rivals, with their absolute best prospects in the lineups at the same time. Did that pay off for you as a viewer and as media?
Oh my gosh, yeah. That was awesome, and I hope that is the start of something we get every year. And this is the first of many spring breakout, you know, weekends that we get, because everywhere you look, you get excited about the future. First game that we were at, I mean, we were sitting right behind home plate for Paul Skenes against Jackson Holliday. You don't really get that unless you were to get it in AAA or, you know, AA, I guess. But it seems like Jackson's going to be in AAA, and we have no idea where Skenes is going yet. But, you know, you've got this lineup, the Orioles, for example. Jackson Holliday is the number one prospect in baseball. But a guy like Kobe Mayo is a top 15 prospect in baseball. Samuel Basayo, the young catcher, is a top 20 prospect in baseball. You get to see all three of those guys in the same lineup. And with the Cubs, like, you know, you take a look at MLB Pipeline or just baseball.com or ESPN, whoever puts out Cubs top prospect lists, and you see all these names and you say, okay, well, I got to tune into Myrtle Beach, and then I got to tune into Tennessee, and I got to tune into South Bend. No, like, they're all in the same place for that game. It's almost like a futures game for your favorite team's organization. I loved the concept, and I thought it was really well executed.
Who are the prospects that are going to break camp, it looks like, that you're most excited about? I see Paul Skenes might not. It's a matter of how soon he gets up here, the fireballer for the Pirates. Who is going to break camp that you're looking forward to seeing? Some of the newbies.
Yeah, so Skenes was already reassigned. A couple of guys that are actually going to debut against both Chicago teams. The most exciting one is Wyatt Langford with Texas. Of course, the Cubs open in Arlington. Langford is having like this out-of-body experience over the last year, but like this may just be who he is. He showed up to Florida as a catcher, University of Florida as a catcher. I think he was like 0-for-4 with a punch out his freshman year. Sophomore year, he OPS'd over 1,100. Junior year last year, his draft year, he OPS'd over 1,200. And then he gets to minor league baseball, and this guy hit 360 in 200 plate appearances. So he's going to be... he's going to be the opening day DH for Texas. He hasn't failed yet at really any level. The comp is probably Paul Goldschmidt in terms of what he can do offensively. You can really dream on a guy that can flirt with 300, can steal 15 bags, and can flirt with 30 homers if all goes according to plan. So Langford is the guy to watch, I'd say, with Texas. And then Detroit and the White Sox open up against each other, and Colt Keith was the other rookie, aside from Chorio, that signed that extension this offseason. Mm-hmm. Colt Keith hit 300 with just about 30 homers last year, drove in 100 in double and triple A as a 21-year-old. So I'd say Langford and Keith are the two guys that are going to be debuting on opening day that you should really keep an eye out for.
All right, just taking notes for my fantasy draft. I have one on Tuesday night. I'm really looking forward to it. All right, so yeah.
Yeah, cool. Later than I wanted. I think it's 9:30 Eastern. Is that right?
Yeah, whatever. My convenience matters. You have to bow to the olds in the Midwest every once in a while. All right?
Got it.
I am the old in that league. All right, so is this, by the way, the year that the Tigers make the leap that so many have been expecting and dreaming on? I mean, so many good young arms there. Maybe the Benetti bump is what pushes Detroit over the hump this year.
Wrong city to talk about the Benetti bump, I guess, right?
Mm.
No, I would say tentatively yes. They have an exciting lineup, and that rotation is fun. I've been a sucker for Casey Mize. I think that dude is a star waiting to break out. And he's back from TJ. He's healthy. He won a rotation spot. I think Reese Olson is really solid. He won a rotation spot. Tarek Skubal could win the Cy Young this year. That lefty is dominant. And you think about best pitching coaches in the game. I think about, you know, Mark Pryor in L.A. I think about Kyle Snyder in Tampa. You know, you could go to Mel Stottlemyre Jr. in Miami. You got to think about Chris Fetter in Detroit. That guy is getting the most out of every arm that he crossed paths with. Chris Fetter was at Michigan when they went to the national title game. I think Chris Fetter is doing amazing things in Detroit. And that roster's fun, man. Spencer Torkelson may go ballistic this year.
Jack McMullen, thanks so much. We'll be watching, listening, TikToking, and more with Just Baseball all season long, man. Appreciate you.
I'm going to take Lankford from you on Tuesday night.
We'll see about that. I could reach early, maybe. I did win the league. I am defending champ, Sean. It's a good league, and I believe in my powers to repeat. Nobody's done it since it's only year two of the league, but I think I'm the guy to get it done.
Big year.
Big year. It's Hit and Run with me, Matt Spiegel, on 670 The Score. Cubs baseball comes your way at 3:00 today. That's when coverage begins with Zach Zabin and Ron Coomer on the call for Cubs Mariners. For the latest news on the Cubs or Sox, try listening to chapters from our show through the Odyssey app. Just search for 670 The Score and tap on a recent episode of our show to get started. And by the way, the Score listener line that you've been calling on and texting on is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. The White Sox will come north from Arizona tomorrow. Couple of moves that have already taken place might set the table for a couple of more. Want to update you on that. And let's talk about a guy who looks like he has made the Cubs opening day roster and a couple who did not as well. And I mentioned a story that you need to hear about the Cubs leader in the clubhouse as well. All of that coming up before we roll at noon on Hit and Run on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sunday mornings on The Score.
123 games last year for Cooper. This is hit high and deep to right. It may go, and this one is way out of here. Cubs strike first. Garrett Cooper with a three-run home run the other way. It's 3-0 Cubs here in the first. Cooper's first home run of the spring since signing with the Cubs. 3-0 lead.
Garrett Cooper. Who in the hell is Garrett Cooper? Garrett Cooper is a first baseman for the Chicago Cubs who is making the team. He said on Saturday, quote, "You feel like a kid again getting that phone call." So cool. Patrick Wisdom was probably going to be the option at corner infield against left-handed pitching and maybe the DH. But for now, Patrick Wisdom has a back issue that's going to have him start the year on the injured list. He's going to be out at least until mid-April, according to Craig Counsell. So Garrett Cooper ends up making the team. That means a couple of guys who've been out there giving it a shot. Dominic Smith, the left-handed hitting first baseman, among them, were allowed to opt out of their minor league deals and see if any other big league team would do and possibly pick them up. According to Craig Counsell, Garrett proved himself as a player and a hitter, fills kind of a role on this team that we need to complement some other players. Cooper had a couple homers, 4 walks, 5 ribbies, and 30 plate appearances. 7 years in the bigs with the Yankees, the Marlins, and the Padres. And now here he is after several good years in Miami, actually, with the Cubs. And they need some pop against lefties. They need pop against all teams, really. So anyway, Garrett Cooper makes the team. Carl Edwards Jr. did not make the team. Was interesting to see the string bean slinger looking exactly the same as he always did, just as thin as he always did. A couple of White Sox moves I want to get to, but I mentioned this from early on in spring training, but a cool indicator of how seriously Dansby Swanson takes his role as a leader on this team. You'd known that Dansby was a leader at Vanderbilt, came up as a young guy in Arizona, then of course in Atlanta, and learned along with Freddie Freeman, and really was very pleased to come here and, among other things, try to help kind of mentor some of the young players. Here's Boog Shambi from a broadcast earlier in the spring talking about Dansby and Pete Crow Armstrong.
The Cubs are invested in the future success of PCA He was telling me the other day about how the veterans, specifically Dansby Swanson, has reached out to him in the offseason at one point. And then I asked Dansby about this. He said, what's good? They went back and forth. That's what the kids say when they just want to check in. What's good? And
I have to work on that.
PCA ended up sending Dansby Swanson some hitting video, and then Dansby eventually said, call me tonight. And it was more of a, yeah, call me or you're going to be in trouble. And so he did call him, and they talked for about an hour. And, yeah, you know, you're looking at a guy in Dansby Swanson who's, I mean, Pete called him the captain. But one of the things that he wants to do is impact younger players and try to make them feel more comfortable.
That's pretty cool. Dansby reaching out in the off season, and then, of course, all spring long, those young players at camp getting a chance to hang out with the big leaguers, the made guys, the world champions, the all-stars, the $170 million-plus contract dudes. That's on some level, that's what the spring is all about. You know, all of those folks being together with the backfields and the front fields all coalescing, everybody mingling in the cafeteria, mingling in the weight room, and building relationships that can last an entire career, if not a lifetime. It's one of the beautiful things about the game. You know, Dansby as a young player getting mentored by the folks that he did, and now as a player in his prime wanting to do the same and pay it forward. It's some good stuff. Looking forward to watching that Cubs team this year beginning on Thursday in Texas. And you'll hear me every once in a while doing some pre and post and the fifth inning of play-by-play. I think May 5th is my first one of that, so it won't be on Hit and Run that day, as I'll be slipping in to do pre-post in the 5th along with Zach Zabeman and Ron Coomer. Always treasure those chances to get to hang out that close to the ball game and that close to the ball players. A couple of moves out of White Sox camp. Tuki Toussaint has been designated for assignment. Speaking of the Arizona Diamondbacks, I believe, by the way, that Tuki go with Dansby Swanson in that trade for Shelby Miller?
Wow.
If memory serves.
Yeah, you 100% nailed it. Yes, he did.
So Dansby Swanson and Tuki Toussaint from Arizona to the Braves in that trade for Shelby Miller, a trade that Dave Stewart made that his boss at the time, Tony La Russa, approved of, did not turn out so well. But Dansby loved his time as a Brave and is now here. Tuki Toussaint has bounced around, had some opportunities with the White Sox last year and pitched pretty well, but not well enough in spring, apparently. Will not make the rotation, will not make the team. Kevin Pillar, who was cut on Friday, has been re-signed to a major league contract. So Pillar looking likely to break camp with the team. In the meantime, the White Sox, who was it yesterday or just the day before, they signed Robbie Grossman, the former Oakland A, the former Atlanta Brave, actually, last year, part of their push to win the division, former Detroit Tiger, who hits left-handed pitchers very, very well, was still out there and on the scrap heap coming off an injury, has now signed with the White Sox and probably will start in Charlotte because he's not quite ready physically. But that is a dude who absolutely obliterated left-handers last year, a WRC plus of 158. WRC is weighted runs created, and weighted runs created plus measures against 100 as the scale. 158 is crazy high, and that's what he did against left-handed pitching. So you'll probably get Robbie Grossman eventually as a platoon option with Dominic Fletcher, the young Diamondback who came over via trade in this offseason, and that'll be part of the White Sox outfield mix. Right now, still 42 players in White Sox camp, including 10 outfielders. Lots of moves to go. Coming up this week, go see Bernsey and Holmes and Rahimi. Layla and Lawrence and Dan all together from 10 to 2 on Thursday. That's going to be at Wings and Rings on Halstead before the White Sox home opener. So 10 to 2. That is going to be brought to you by Modelo. And then a week from tomorrow, Monday the 1st, that show will be at Sluggers in Wrigleyville from 10 until 12:45, brought to you by BetMGM, before the home opener at Wrigley Field. And then after the game, me and Danny Parkins, Parkins and Spiegel, will be broadcasting our show from the Cubs broadcast booth at Wrigley Field, wrapping up what should be a very fun Cubs home opener that day. Thank you to all my guests on the show today, Jack McMullen from Just Baseball, and thank you to Herb Lawrence from CHGO. That was fun. Thank you to Sean Sears for doing a great job producing the show, as always. Thank you to you, the listeners and the callers and the texters, for making the show what it is. CBS Sports Radio is next. Cubs baseball comes your way at 3. I'm back tomorrow on Parkins and Spiegel, right here on a full broadcast day tomorrow on 670 The Score.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.